there. Today we go to the internet, and you go out there, and if you want to know how to repair a well, you can find out how to do that. All of that is available through the internet at your fingertips. But how about a book on how to live your life? Well, that's what we're studying right here, the Word of God. This book tells you how to live a victorious Christian life. And God gave us His Word, and He gave it to us so we could avoid the pitfalls of life and so that we could come forth more than a conqueror when we do face the storms of life. And the storms of life, they're coming to everybody, and Jesus knew that. And look at what He said in Matthew 7:24. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, the word of God, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, but it was founded upon the rock." And then He talks about the foolish man. "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not," Jesus said, "he shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his life upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So we see two types of lives, two types of individuals. One that builds his life upon God's word, the other that ignores God's word, goes his own way. And Jesus said, if you build on the solid rock of the word, that the rains, if I want you to notice in both of those cases, He said the rains descended, the floods came, the wind beat upon the house. And so one fell because it was built on the sand. The other one stood through the storm because it was built upon the rock of God's word. Tonight I want to talk about surviving the storm of the unknown. There are so many things in life that are unknown. And so how do we deal in this area of the unknown? That's what I want to talk about tonight. Father, we love You and praise You. Thank You for Your word. Oh God, open our hearts. Lord, give us the revelation that we need. Because Lord, when we have revelation and we understand that Your word declares to us just how to live our lives, and when we follow it, even though the storms come, we're going to make it through the storm. Bless us tonight. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Why the unknown? Well, it's because we live in a world of the unknown. I want you to think about the events that have transpired since the turn of the 21st century. I remember when we went into it in the business world, there was Y2K, and they thought all the computers were going to fail. But they didn't fail. We did an awful lot of work, but the computers did not fail, just as they thought they would. But it was a world of the unknown. Look at 9/11/2001, the terrorist attack upon our nation, and those twin towers that fell. That's the area of the unknown. People wondering, what are we going to do? I remember working. I guarantee you can remember where you were when you heard that tragic news. And think about the wars. We're at war tonight, and our president is because the nation of Syria, they haven't upped the monies they should help support the war effort there. He's thinking about pulling our troops out of there. We ISIS, they're almost a thing of the past, but we need to just keep on and keep on until we totally annihilate them. We can do that. They're a terrorist group. We're Christians, but at the same time, you have to stand up and you have to defend yourself and you have to defend Christian rights and our way of life. And so we're at war. Look at the mass shootings that are happening. This is the area of the unknown. We don't know why society doesn't know why people, go out and shoot. I can tell you why. Because they have a demon that's driving them. We don't understand why young children shoot up on drugs and do the things they do, because there's a spirit world just beyond our view. And that world drives them. And they don't even know it. And you talk about demon power in America, and 90% of the Christian world, they think that you've gone off the deep end. But the Bible tells us we're in a warfare. We're fighting principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The devil's not in hell like people think he is. He controls the airways. Look at what's going on in our world today. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He cannot devour everybody, but he has a plan to destroy you. He has a plan to destroy your life. And God has a plan to bless your life. So that's a warfare going on. And then we have the flesh and the spirit. The flesh is warring against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. You cannot do the things that you would. Even after you get saved, you have to make a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. But think about it. We are in the last days. And the Bible talks about people departing from the faith. The Bible talks about men's heart failing them because of fear. That's the world of the unknown. So how do we overcome the unknown? That's what this lesson is all about. This world of the unknown, how do we conquer it? How do we come forth, as the Bible says, more than conquerors in Jesus' mighty name? Look at Psalms 91 and 5, if you can pull that. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible, right here. Psalms 91. God said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. A lot of things happen at night. That's when people, they do things in darkness, and that's when fear tries to grip you. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. There's that darkness again. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Put the next scripture up there. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Every time I think about that, I'm back in combat. I was headed to Way City in the Tet Offensive of 1968 to do house-to-house fighting. Oh, I was in danger where they sent me, but we're trained for jungle warfare. Now they're having house-to-house fighting in Way City, and there was a lot going on, and we were not a seasoned, conditioned group of men. And so they sent the 5th Marines up, and we went in and took their area over. And we had enough to deal with taking that area over. But after I got saved, I thought about so many times how God's protective hand was on me all through my combat experience. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Pew. You ever heard of a sniper ram? Pew. Snap past your head? Brother Elam has. Amen. Have you ever had mortars blow up all around you and 122 Soviet rockets hit a building and there's nothing left but a floor? That's terror. But as Christians, we know whom we have believed, and we're persuaded he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. See, God does not want his people living in fear. God wants us to live by faith. God wants us to conquer the unknown, because we know that the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. God wants us to face our future, or to face anything, with the spirit of courage, with confidence that Jesus Christ is with us, God is for us, the Holy Ghost is in us, and that we're going to come forth, hallelujah, because we are people of faith, and whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. Paul said, whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. That's a good way to live, and that's a good way to die. And guess what? If Jesus doesn't come in the rapture, we're all going to go by the way of the grave, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man but once to die. And after that, the judgment. I think a lot of times about the poem Alan Seeger wrote in World War I. That just sort of stuck with me all my life. When I heard it, I never knew I would be going off to war as a young man myself. But he was in World War I. He said, I have a rendezvous with death at some disputed barricade when spring comes back with rustling shade and apple blossoms fill the air. I have a rendezvous with death when spring brings back blue days and fair. And he ends that poem by saying, and I, to my pledge word am true, I shall not fail that rendezvous. He died in World War I, but he left that poem. And that has sort of stuck with me, that each one of us, he knew what the Bible says, that it's appointed unto man. He knew I have a rendezvous. He didn't know he would meet it there in that war. He didn't know he would meet it at a young age. But all of us have that rendezvous. And we need to make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives so we don't live in the world of fear. But there are people who have to go for psychiatric care simply because of the fear and the world of the unknown. They just cannot face what they cannot understand. And your emotions, they will jerk you around. That's why it's so important that we realize that the kingdom of God is in us. And when you see that the kingdom of God is righteousness, that we have a right standing with God. We belong to God. God's going to take care of us. We have a right relationship with God the Father. Some people are so afraid of God, but we're not. He's our Father. And we know that the blessings of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting, and His righteousness go right down to the children's children, that He's a God who loves us. And we're not afraid because we know God. And, you know, your emotions, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, that you can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. People say, well, I'm not living like that. Get into the Word. Keep coming to church. Keep getting your mind washed in the water of the Word of God. And pretty soon, you'll get a revelation. Say, woo, that's who I am. I have the righteousness of God. I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I have Jesus' joy. And my life is full of joy. And then get filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. I tell you, I just get to looking at the Word of God and all of a sudden I feel like I'm about 10 foot tall. Amen. The Word is so wonderful and so good. And we need it. We need that spiritual strength because we're in a world of darkness. We're in the world of the unknown. But we know God. And we know God is in control. And we know that Jesus will never leave us. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I said, well, that's long enough. Even to the end of the world. Well, that's far enough. So when I step out of this world, I step over into another world. But it's not a world of the unknown because we have the Bible. And the Bible talks about eyes not seen, ears not heard, not even into the hearts of man. The things God has prepared for those that love Him. Then he talks about walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of pure, transparent gold. Says we're going to have a face-to-face meeting with Jesus. Thank God we know about heaven. We know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. This body is going to stay, but our soul and our spirit is going to soar home to be with God. And one day the trumpet is going to sound, the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up. If that trumpet blew right now, Brother Woody, we're out of here on the first wave. Hallelujah. But if we're in the grave, it said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. I used to think about that. And I thought, well, you know, we'll meet them all up in there. If they rise first, and the guy got 6 foot further to go. Hello, Daddy. Hello, Mother. And there's your brother, and there's your sister, and your grandparents, and the people you love. And we're all going up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall you ever be with the Lord. So death is not the area of the unknown to us. We know Jesus, hallelujah. And He has conquered death and the grave and made us more than conquerors. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. So heaven is going to be wonderful. So the more you know about God, the more peace you have about the unknown. That's what I'm trying to say. So what is the unknown, point number one? Well, the unknown, it could be the inexperience, something you've never experienced. To one person, what is unknown is not unknown to another person. Amen. What one person fears, another person does not fear at all. So what is fear? Fear is F-E-A-R. I don't have a screen tonight, so I just have to write fear. F-E-A-R, Dan. False, F, E, evidence, A, appearing real. False evidence appearing real. So many times the things we're afraid of, they never come to happen. But even when we're in danger, and there's danger in this world, that's the unknown. But 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 1 and 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. If you got your Bible, 2 Timothy 1, 7, if you put that on the screen, that is working. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I wished I could remember which English teacher taught me this, but this helps me a lot when I'm studying the Word of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Well, what did he give us? He gave us a spirit of power. That's an inference. It's inferred, but it's not stated. It's what's called an inference in the English language. We have a spirit of power. Secondly, we have a spirit of love. And thirdly, we have a spirit of a sound mind. So once you're saved, God is working in you. That's why the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. So you have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of love. You have a spirit of a sound mind. We're living in a world that we contact with the five natural senses. But we got a sense called faith. I call it the sixth sense. Hallelujah. And with that sense called faith, we contact God. So we don't have a spirit of fear. You've heard me say it. I've said it hundreds of times. I thought the devil was behind the door. I'd kick it down just to see if he's there. I'm not afraid of him. He's not my Lord. He's not my master. Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus has given the church authority and power over all the power of him. And that's why we're not afraid of the unknown. We know Jesus. Hallelujah. And he holds the keys. He said, I have the key. He told John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. He conquered death. He took the sting out of it. He conquered the grave. He took the gloom out of the grave. And he gave us eternal life. Hallelujah. And we belong to him. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And we chose to make him our Lord. Hallelujah. So we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power. We have a spirit of love. We have a spirit of the unknown. A spirit of love, power, and the spirit of a sound mind. Trying to get up, think about what is the unknown. What is the unknown? This is an area we have to deal with all the time. Many times it's something we've not studied, something we've not learned about. And it could be the area of the untried, something you don't know about. So many people, it's never been tried. It's only unknown to some people because they never studied it, they've never experienced it, and they've never tried it. So this area is nothing to be afraid of. It's something to walk into. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at the unknown and evil. If an item has fear and torment associated with it, you can be sure one thing. That's a devil behind it. Now, I don't like snakes, but I'm not afraid of snakes. I don't have a fear of them because I know I have dominion. And if I were to take a rifle or a pistol, I can take that snake out pretty easy because man was given dominion. I'll never forget when I was in a training exercise out in California. There were rattlesnakes. There was a field full of cactus. And these Marines, they were killing the snakes and getting the rattler. I didn't want to mess with one of them. And I got close to a cactus plant, and I jumped out of the way. I mean, I don't know what I cleared, but I mean, I got out of the way. I didn't want to mess with that snake. He wasn't bothering me as long as I didn't bother him. But I'm not afraid of them because man was created to be the master. Amen. I've been studying. I wrote this down. Thank God I got it in my pocket. This is from the Living Bible. This is, if you want to put, I didn't write the scripture down, but it's Genesis 1:26. If you put Genesis 1:26 in the King James, it talks about man having dominion. So if we have dominion, why are we afraid of anything? God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion. And he talks about over the fish, the fowl, and if you read on to the end of that chapter, he talks about over every living thing. But I like what it said in the Living Bible. Then God said, let us make a man, someone like ourselves, the Godhead is having a conversation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, someone like ourselves to be the master of all life upon the earth, that we're to rule and reign in this life. We're not afraid of the unknown. We know God. We have omnipotence living inside of us. And the devil comes and he tries to make people afraid and fill them with fear. Some people are afraid to go out of the house. I remember a man that wrote this. He was sitting on, he said, if you should pass this house away, just in case you should, within lives a heart of stray with soul of good. He would not ask a lot of you, perhaps, to talk or how you do the things you do, like take a walk. A simple thing that we do every day. Yet someone so afraid and so full of fear that they couldn't get out. Thank God that person finally got out. They got over it. God is good. And God delivered them. And God saved them. And they're in heaven today. Hallelujah. Go on, praise the Lord. God is a great God. You don't have to live in fear. Amen. You know, I thought about ice cream. I love ice cream, but not in my diet right now. But, you know, if someone told you, if you had never seen ice cream and someone told you, that will kill you if you touch it. That's not true. See, we're afraid of something and it's the unknown. It's not true. If you've never seen ice cream, I mean, I've seen C4, a little glob of white stuff, and you put a cap in it and it blow that door off the hinges over there. But ice cream's not like that. Once you get a bite of ice cream, you're going to want another one. So being unknown doesn't make it evil. Many beautiful things come to us through the world of the unknown. Amen. But there are millions of people who don't know about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they would love to have the Spirit in the fullness, but, you know, they don't know how wonderful the Holy Ghost is, and their denomination has taught them. Don't get around those people. They speak in tongues. Well, it's in the Bible. Amen. And then they say, don't get around that. You'll go crazy. Well, that's a devil, and you need power. Jesus said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And one wrong thought can keep people in bondage for the rest of their life, because they were taught wrong. So God wants us to get our minds cleaned out with the Word of God. I like that scripture. It's the washing of the water of the Word. And if you hear the Word, it just cleans out all those old cobwebs and all of that past. God is more interested in your future than He is in your past. God is the God of the now. He said, I am. I am whatever you need me to be. I'm the I am. Hey, Moses, I am. Well, who shall I tell sent me, God? Tell him that I am sent you. I'll be the water in the rock. I'll be the manna from heaven. I'll be the clothes that you need. It won't wear out. I'll be a cloud by day, and I'll be fire, a pillar of fire by night. And when you have a need, I'm the I am. Just tell him the I am sent you. Hallelujah. And he just went out on that into an unknown, leading 3 million people griping and grumbling and complaining. But he had heard from God, and he led them out. And Joshua had the great privilege of leading them in. I want to lead them out, and I want to lead them in to more of God. I want to lead them out of bondage. I want to see God break every chain, the addictions, the habits, the mindsets, the fear of the unknown. And I want to see them come into God. I want to get them out of that and get them into God. One preacher I heard, they said, if you leave that denomination and you go out and preaching with what you're preaching, said, you won't have anybody to preach to. Said, all you'll have is a filling station. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, yeah, I'm running the filling station all right now. I'm getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at these people. Had a huge crowd out there he was preaching to. Amen. Get into God, and you can overcome so many things. So people are afraid. You know, think about people that, I'll never forget when Teresa and I, we were trying to get this little girl healed. God sent me. I knew God wanted to heal that little girl. And the man mocked me. The little girl's daddy mocked me. Finally, the granddaddy came in. I found he was a preacher. He was. One of ours. A Pentecostal preacher. And he said, well, the problem is this. That man said, this man really believes the word of God, daddy. Said, that man believes it. And the daddy finally spoke up, fear. He said, what we are afraid of is we will pray and the little child will die and we'll feel like we didn't have the faith. I said, is that all there is? Is that the only problem you have? I said, we won't go on your faith. We'll go on my faith. How's that? And I prayed. Later, God showed me a vision of that child and God healed that baby. And that child, that child's alive today as far as I know. Last time I checked, she was a young, because I was not afraid to pray. I'm not the healer. Jesus is the healer. I'm the preacher. I'm the vessel. You're the vessel. Hallelujah. We don't save anybody. We don't heal anybody. We preach Jesus, and Jesus does the work. Hallelujah. That's why I love to preach him, because I see people, I see scales falling from their eyes, and I see them reaching out and becoming stronger in the Lord and the power of his might. See, this thing doesn't happen all at once. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And you got to sit in under the word and hear the word so God can feed you. Sometimes we just can't hear. We just, our minds go in other places. But if you hear enough, and if you hear, keep hearing it, God will keep leading you out. A little here, a little there. So if you're growing, just thank God that you're growing. You know, the devil tries to discourage all of us. I said, I'm so much stronger than I was a year ago. I'll be stronger tomorrow than I am today. I have purpose to study. I will put 2 Timothy 2:15 up there. I have purpose in my heart. I will memorize scripture. I will do it. It's my goal to know him, that I may know him. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I think about how we send our children to school. We teach them in public schools. Yet we educate them in colleges and universities, spending millions of dollars as a nation. Yet we fail to teach them the word of God the way we should. Let's look at the unknown and danger. Now, before Columbus discovered America, they thought that the earth was flat. That if you went out too far, then you would fall right off the edge. And very slowly, man learned that the earth was round and that you wouldn't fall off. But Isaiah, thousands of years before that, wrote in the book of Isaiah, he said, God sitteth upon the circle of the earth. He knew it was round. He had revelational knowledge. He was a prophet. That was the word of wisdom working in his life. God showing him the prophetic future. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Many times we don't understand a thing and we're just afraid of it. We're afraid to try it. Amen. That brings me to my fourth point, fear and the unknown. Fear and unbelief. They can keep you from entering into the area of the unknown. We're afraid to do something simply because we've never done it before. See, we cannot allow fear to keep us out of new things just because we don't understand something. I'll never forget, I went into a business. I knew they had this part. I needed a part that was dated, but this man had an electrical company, and he had all these parts down in the basement. I knew he had some of them. If anybody's got them, he's got them. And I went over there, and he had it. And I looked, and in 1960s, I studied. I can't remember what the machine is called, but It was not a computer, but you took these cards out of trays and you took them and put them in there and put the customer's information on there and then hit a button and it printed it on there. And I said, you still using that? He said, I am. I said, what's that over there? Is that a PC? He said, yeah. I said, do you use that? A little computer sitting up there. He said, no, I don't want to learn that. He said, I'm just content with this. And I'm thinking, he's got all these trays and cards that some secretary's got to put back. And he's got a machine. I said, well, what's that doing? He said, I sell them. He sold them. Yet he would not venture into the unknown. When I was in the business world, I was one of the very first ones to get a terminal. I asked for a computer. They sent me to school and paid for me to get an education on Word and Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoints and all of that. I just decided I will not let anybody be ahead of me. And today, kids are so good, they can do about anything. But I tell you what, I can still get on there. Show me how to do that. Show me. They're so fast, they slow down and show me. You know, they just do it. But I just refuse to let a generation go ahead of me. No, they can't even count. If they don't hit the amount tender button, you get them so confused. Teresa said, Jerry, don't confuse them. I said, look, I hand them a $20 bill. My bill might be $20.25. And then I hand them a quarter. What'd you give me that quarter for? My bill's $19.25. What'd you give me that quarter for? They want to give me 75 cents back. I done the math in my head, but I want a dollar back. What's that quarter for? See, they're not smarter than I am. I can do it the old way, but I'm going to learn to do it the new way. I'm not going to let it be an area of the unknown. That's what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. There are young men and young women who are afraid to date. But how can you get married if you don't go out with somebody? I mean, let's be real. And some people are afraid to get married because the fear of the unknown. Put Proverbs 18:22. This one, I love this one right here. My pastor used to quote it. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I had to pray mine in. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18 and verse 22, I believe. 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I have a wife, a Christian wife, a good Christian wife. Count your blessings. Don't let the unknown keep you from blessings. Count the blessings God has already given you and move out into your future. Don't be afraid to get married. Amen. A mate is a wonderful thing from God. But, you know, don't get unequally yoked. Marry a Christian. Yeah, somebody that will serve your God. Someone that will help you pray. Someone that will help bring your children up in the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. And you'll have a beautiful life. A beautiful wife and a beautiful life. And Jesus in the center of it. What is it that holds a marriage together? A threefold cord is not easily broken. But some people, they have a failure. And then they're afraid to try it again. It's unknown. Don't be afraid. That's a spirit of fear again. Just say, God, I'm going to pray. And when I get peace about this thing, I'm moving into my future. Let God direct you. Amen. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Let's look at some great men in the unknown. See, you will never learn from your successes. You'll learn from your failures. Now, you can learn from the failures of others. But if you can do a thing and you do it and you do it and you do it and you do it and you can do it 1,000 times over and over, you've not learned anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You learned how to do it, but if you don't try something new, then all you know is what you know. I read a lot, because if all you know is what you know, you won't ever know what other people know. I'm not afraid to read books that others have written, because I read the book. And I'll take what they said back to the book and I'll pray about it. I studied behind some great men of God. I've studied all types of denomination. I said, they had it on salvation. That group had a good teaching on sanctification. This one had a good teaching on prayer. This one had a good teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this one took it a little step further on the gifts of the Spirit. And I studied these people. But guess what? I take it right back to the Bible. I say, what does the Bible say? Because some people get it wrong. You know what most preachers know? They know what they learned in their seminary. That's what they know. What their denomination taught. That's what they know. And they don't venture beyond that. Oh, don't do that. You will never know unless you go on in God. And so I'm just determined to know. Hallelujah. And if it's unknown, I'm going to pray about it and say, God, show me. Give me revelation. I was reading about old brother Paul. Paul said, I knew a man who was caught up in the third heaven. He said, well, in the body, out of the body, I don't know. He said, and he was shown things that they so much revelation, he couldn't even make it known. And then he said, because of the abundance of revelation that was given to me, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan that he would buffet me. And religion has taken that and made Paul sick. He's had running eyes. He's been all over. He's sick, you know, and they beat him with rods 3 times on the foot. If you ever get hit, beat 1 time, it'll break every bone in your foot. They did it 3 times to him. He walked all over the known world. They stoned him to death at Lystra. They prayed for him. He got up and walked away. Amen. And people say he was sick. I don't see that in my Bible. I can read. And I understand English. I'll go back and look at the Greek also. He said, that was given me because of the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh, and he identifies it, a demon spirit, a messenger from Satan that buffeted me. Everywhere I go, God says, my grace is sufficient. And people want to act like God didn't do anything. Yeah, God said, look, I've given you the name of Jesus. You have revelation. Take the name of Jesus and drive that thing out. I've given you knowledge. You know you're wrestling principalities and powers, but I've given you authority. And so Paul said, I'll glory in my infirmity. The power of God may rest upon me. That's the area of the unknown. But see, God will reveal things to you. Think about Albert Einstein. See, great men, they always study the unknown. Albert Einstein devoted his entire life to exploring the unknown. That's all he ever did. And he did it in the area of science. This is something he said. It's beautiful. He said this, and I quote, the most beautiful thing that we can experience is the unknown. End of quote. And because of that, and that man devoting his life, we have atomic energy. Because one man said, I will live in the unknown. Thomas Edison, he tried and thrived on the unknown. He created the incandescent light bulb. He failed 10,000 times thinking that he had it. He just believed that he could bring light where there was no light. And I believe if I get up and preach, I can bring light where there's no light. But he was in the area of science. I'm in the area of helping people through the Spirit of God. He believed he could bring light where there was no light. And other people laughed at him. They said, a candle's enough for me, like the man with that old machine when he had that computer. Others, they said, well, I'm just content to have a kerosene lamp. But guess what? We have lights all across this nation tonight. We got lights in here. We got lights all over the world because one man, Thomas Edison, he decided, I'll tap into the unknown. God, and that's so many things that have not been discovered. Amen. Abraham, he discovered the unknown. God gave him a word of wisdom that Sodom and Gomorrah, they were going to be destroyed because of the evil that was there. Look at Genesis 18:16. Genesis 18:16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. These are some angels that visited Abraham. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm going to do? So he was a man that God trusted so much, he said, I'm going to show him what I'm going to do. So this man got to know the unknown, and he understood what was going to happen before it ever happened. That was the gift of the word of wisdom working in the Old Testament. The gifts of the Spirit, we have them in our Bible, but it's unknown to most people. The word of wisdom is when God shows you prophetically through a dream or vision, or he speaks to you the future. The word of knowledge is where God shows you something that exists right now, and you know it supernaturally. Like that was, this family disappeared, and nobody knew where they were. And this grandmother prayed, and she said, I'll tell you where they are. Go out to the lake. They ran off of that ramp right there, and they're there. I was praying, and God showed me they've all drowned. They thought she was a witch. They went out there, and guess what? That's what exactly what happened. It was a word of knowledge. God revealed that supernaturally. These gifts are real. Matter of fact, that's another study, but I put 1 Corinthians 12 and 8. I just want to show you these gifts because they're unknown to most people, but God wants us to live in them. He's a supernatural God, and we have supernatural power, and he gives us supernatural understanding. 1 Corinthians 12 and 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Ghost. Look at verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongue. To another, interpretation of tongue. So you've got three revelational gifts there. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. That's when you know something revelationally. You know it through the Spirit of God. And then you have three power gifts. And the church is afraid to study these. It's unknown. It's unknown in their denomination. And they're missing some of the greatest things that they could ever have in their life. Three power gifts. Faith. Gifts of healing. Working of miracles. They're power gifts from God. And God wants to display his power. He wants to display his anointing to his church. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the church. John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there's one mightier than I am. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. God wants the church to be full of fire. It was born in the fire on the day of Pentecost. Cloven tongues, like as a fire, set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they went out and turned their world upside down. There are three inspirational gifts. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. There are only two new gifts in the church world today, and that's tongues with interpretation. I can take you and take you on a journey through the Bible and show you that all seven of these nine gifts worked in the Old Testament. They were there. What is prophecy? So many people get, it's unknown. They get prophecy and the prophet mixed up. The prophet has a fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and preachers. And then there's the gift of prophecy. Put 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 up there. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. Prophecy doesn't do but three little things. This is the gift. And Paul said, I want everybody to prophesy. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what prophecy is in the New Testament. The prophet is a seer. He operates in the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. He knows what he's dealing with. So many times when a person comes in the healing line, God will talk to the prophet and say, you're dealing with a spirit of infirmity. Cast it out. He may do that to a lay person. See, these gifts, they operate as the Holy Ghost chooses. He wants to operate them through you. And we're unknown, unknown to the church world mostly. Paul said, put 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 up there. 1 Corinthians 12, 1, and I'm going to end this thing because this really got into my spirit a long, long time ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we call 13 the love chapter, but it actually is a continuation of the gifts. And then 1 Corinthians 14, they're all about the gifts, the supernatural gifts, the manifestation gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. We are ignorant in the church, mostly, concerning these. Because most of the church world says, we don't want that in our church. But we want the Holy Ghost here. We want the power of God. He's not unknown to us. Hallelujah. We have experienced the supernatural power of God. For those that have not, the Holy Ghost is unknown. They talk about Him. But they forbid to speak in tongues. And the Bible says forbid not to speak in tongues. They say, greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. And they stop. They leave out that word, except he interpret that the church may be edified. See, we got to take the word of God for what it says. It's only unknown because people don't study. Because people don't seek God. And they close themselves off because they were taught wrong about one thing. I said, God, I want to know. And the Lord asked me years ago, said, do you want to learn? I said, yes, Lord. He said, you got to be willing to change your mind. I said, change my mind? I thought I was taught right. He said, do you want to know? Do you want to understand? You want revelational knowledge? Yes, Lord. You've got to be willing to change your mind. I'm not talking about just basic things. I'm talking about some of the things religion has taught. They don't even know what they're talking about. It's unknown to them. But we know Him. Hallelujah. And we love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God that the gifts of the Spirit, they are real and for today. So there are areas of life that we've been cheated out of simply because we have never experienced them. Nobody has taught us yet. And in our spiritual world, that's more true or truer than it is in the natural world. In the spirit world, many people never go beyond being saved. They never search the Word of God. They never attend teaching seminars. They never really understand spiritual matters. Put the basic text back up there, 1 Corinthians 7, 24. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. He's talking about the Word of God. I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the next verse says, the rain descended. I want you to watch this progression. The rain descended, the winds blew, the floods came, rather, the winds blew. Sounds like a great storm, doesn't it? Beat upon that house, and it fell not, it was founded upon the rock. And look at the next verse. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Now I want you to look at the progression. Next verse. The rain descended, the very same thing. The floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, upon that life. And because it was built on sand, it fell, and great was the fall of it. So the things that are unknown to some people, they're not unknown to others. But we're not to live our life in fear. We know God. And we know that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We know that Jesus is our Savior. We know that we're going to heaven. We love his word. We love his people. And when the storms come, and they're going to come, they come to everybody. Then we'll be able to stand. We'll be able to survive the storms. And I promise you this, as soon as you get through one storm, as soon as you get a great victory, as you walk down the road of life, you will encounter another storm, and then another storm, and another storm. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. The devil is called the god of this world. And Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that you'll not take them out of the world, but you'll keep them from the evil of the world. I and thou in me, Jesus said, that they may be one in us, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them, the redeemed, as thou hast loved me. I read this years ago. This king, he was giving the address to his nation. And he did not realize at the time that he was dying of a terrible disease. And he said, I said to the man at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may walk safely into the darkness. And he said to me, put your hand in the hand of God and walk out into the darkness. And it shall be better to you than the light and better to you than the unknown. We're studying the unknown. Whatever tomorrow holds, whatever we may face, we know who holds tomorrow. I said to the man at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may walk safely into the darkness. And he said to me, walk out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. It shall be better, safer to you than the light, and better than the known. Put your hand in the hand of Jesus and let him lead you and guide you. Let us stand. Anybody here tonight, you need prayer, you need to give your heart to the Lord, you're facing some unknowns. Learning, you just learn to lean on Jesus. I promise you something. He will be with you through the storms of life. He will bring you forth. Finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Sing it one more time. Father, we're leaning on you. Lord Jesus, lead us and guide us. Thank you for victory. Thank you, Lord, we're not afraid because you've given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. And I've ever dreamed I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Sing it again, brother. I want to talk to somebody right now.